It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 532. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. You can check out the wiki. That's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows. Want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show podcast. That is the best service for remote support. And you can start providing remote support for your customers today with Instant House Call by clicking on the link on the left-hand side of the website at miketechshow.com. You will be taken to instanthousecall.com where you can sign up for a free 15-day trial by using the promo code MikeTechShow. So promo code MikeTechShow, you get to test Instant House Call, where you can do auto repairs remotely, unattended mode. There's a ton of features. Just go to instanthousecall.com, enter that promo code, and give it a try. Last week, I couldn't do a show for the following reasons, and it's sort of interesting what happened. I have a lot of stories tonight, and then I have a couple voicemails, and then we're going to get to email. I want to jump right in because my client that was moving from one location to another were dependent on Comcast installing the line at the new office in order to get their new office up and running. And then we had NetCarrier doing the phone implementation for VoIP. And again, no phones with no internet access. They're supposed to do this install on Friday. They cancel. They're going to do it on Saturday. We find out late Friday night they canceled Saturday. Well, Monday's the holiday. Then we start to move into Tuesday. They come out, waiting to hear this. The tech comes out on site at 4 o'clock. He says, you know, this is going to take longer than a half hour, and I'm done at 4:30. I'm going to go. We'll be back tomorrow. And takes off. How is that possible for a business, for a business-grade internet connection? How is that acceptable? That is just horrible. They don't come out till Tuesday to get everything running. So my son Ryan and I go out Wednesday night in order to get everything connected. Now, that's when I was supposed to be doing the show. Well, the reason I couldn't do the show Thursday night was because of the Linkin Park concert in Atlantic City. Well, I booked two rooms because Ryan won these tickets. And I booked two rooms in Atlantic City for Ryan and I for Friday night and Saturday night to go down. I cannot get a refund or cancel those nights because guess what? Lead singer of Linkin Park breaks his ankle, and it's so bad, they canceled the entire tour. They just canceled. So there's no concert Friday night. So now I'm stuck with two rooms, and my wife's like, I'll go. I'll, you know, take me down. And so Ryan doesn't even come down. So my wife and I, we spent two nights down the shore. It's great. We have a good time for the weekend. But I have no time to be able to edit the show. And because of Comcast and moving and me changing my schedule on a whole lot of things, it just made Thursday night impossible to do a show. So now, no show last week. I have so many things to talk about. The Comcast, once they got it installed, that turn up of the network services where we're moving the network printers, we're moving the Wi-Fi, because I kept the IP scheme the same for the internal network. I worked with the phone company in advance and told them what I want them to deploy for the IP scheme for that new office. They followed those instructions because this is a managed router, a managed firewall, so I didn't have anything to do with that. But all the internal network services, I'm responsible for. Literally, packing up that equipment, taking it to the new office and turning it on, everything worked perfectly. That's because planning just makes all the difference in the world. That office got lit up very quickly and was up and running. The phones were running. The VoIP company did their job. So as soon as Comcast came out and got the line installed, everything went great. But it was that aggravation of last minute canceling. I'll tell you, I lost money because I had to save my schedule to be available and I couldn't book any other work. And then in the last minute, if Comcast cancels, I now lose that opportunity. Quite frankly, I didn't mind that. That wasn't too horrible. I didn't mind the break. Monday, the holiday, I was talking about this in the pre-show, and I'm only going to mention a little bit. I went on an interview for a consulting opportunity with a client. And right before the show, I was just informed that I was accepted for that consulting job. So all that's going to do is add a tremendous amount of more work on my already filled plate. I still am keeping Thursday nights free. Very, very happy. And I'm going to have great, great stories to be able to talk about from the trenches based on this new work. I was introduced to a lawyer from a referral from my B&I group. And it was just an introduction because he might need IT support. What's so interesting is after I'm introduced to him, the very next day, one of his computer systems, they're getting that smart hard drive error that the system's going to die and that the hard drive's going to crash, replace the hard drive. Now, I come on site and I said, if this is a true error, then we got to make sure that I'll replace the hard drive. If it's not, if it's something false, I'll clean the system because it may be some type of malware or infection. I get on site. The first thing I do is run Crystal Disk Info, red, that, you know, replace the drive immediately. Now, the system's still working. So why it's working, I take my external hard drive, I plug it in the USB port, and I run a Windows backup doing a system image. Took about a half hour, but it was worth it because I got everything. And now I don't have to worry about drivers and reinstalling apps, I was able to get a good system image just by using the Windows system image. It's Windows 7 Pro. And once I got a successful backup, I said, we're good to go. I said, I'm going to take this system to my home office, if you don't mind. I'll bring it back tomorrow morning. I'll work on this tonight. I said, I'll put a new hard drive in it. I'll do a restore. It was a piece of cake, except getting the hard drive out. This was a custom-built system, and I hate when systems are built incorrectly or there was no thought as to the maintenance of the system where the CPU heat sink blocked the ability to take out the hard drive. What a mess. Just getting the hard drive in and out took more time than the actual restore of the backup. Once I got the new hard drive in, the restore, I just fired up the Windows 7 repair disk, kept that external drive connected that I had the backup on, did the restore, piece of cake. Hour later, everything's working. I was able to take that back the next morning. That was, I forget what day that was. That might have been Tuesday. And now it's Wednesday morning where I'm hooking up the system. Then I have multiple clients Wednesday. As you know, I have my main client that I'm there all day. And then Wednesday night, I was doing the move from the client that was moving. Couple things. I've been playing with Windows 10 preview, and there's been a major update to the preview, to that technical preview. And if you've been using this, go to the modern interface of PC settings to do your Windows update, not the Windows update in control panel. If you do the update in where the Metro interface in the apps, in the technical preview, there's a preview update. There is a major update that was released last week for Windows 10. They made a lot of changes. Take a look at that if you're playing with Windows 10. I am excited about it because I'm looking forward and my clients are looking forward to go directly from Windows 7 to Windows 10. And we're hoping that that rumor is true. And I think Microsoft made the announcement. I'm not sure. I got to confirm this, that I believe the Windows 10 is going to be free if you have Windows 7 or Windows 8. And if that's true, if you're in the business like us, you're going to find being very, very busy from a labor standpoint in doing those upgrades. One of the things I will do right away is get a process down to do that update. And I don't like doing in-place updates, so we're going to see how that works. I am a believer when you change a full version number of an operating system that you do a wipe. Do a complete wipe and complete reinstall. So the big problem with when Windows 10 is released, it's going to be drivers. Anybody that's running Windows 7 on the hardware, you're going to have to be able to have the drivers from the manufacturer for Windows 10. That always is the roadblock of a new operating system when it's released. And here's a perfect example. I have Windows 10 preview. I have two very new printers that I cannot print to in Windows 10. One of them's HP, another one's a Xerox Phaser Color. And Windows 10, there's no drivers because it's too early. That's one of the big problems for the implementation of Windows 10. Microsoft better get that out to all of the manufacturers, and I'm hoping that they see that this operating system is going to be more significantly more popular than Windows 8. So they better come to bear with the drivers to support this. When 10 goes live, there better be drivers. And this is where all of the printer manufacturers, the video cards, all your USB devices, we got to get drivers for Windows 10 so we can make that implementation easier. I added a third monitor to my setup here. I have an NVIDIA card that I believe can support. There's four ports on the back, but I never tried more than two monitors on my video card. I have two Samsung 22-inch monitors. Now, laying around here, I have lots of monitors for hooking up to test or do some work. I have this really nice Samsung 24-inch that's just dying to be hooked up somewheres, and there's like been no room. So I'm looking at my layout here, and I determine what a great idea to turn one of these monitors that I have laying around into portrait and then hook it up as a third monitor, but in portrait mode. So it's very easy to scroll through big websites or big documents. You know, it looks really neat. So I bought, and I'm going to have a link, the first link in the show notes tonight. It's going to be a link from Amazon for a monitor stand that is a tall monitor stand that has the four Visa holes that you can put a monitor and easily make it a portrait monitor. Well, guess what? The Samsung monitors don't have the holes in the back to be able to mount to a stand. You have to use the custom stand from the bottom. I was very disappointed that I didn't bother to check the back of my monitor. So what did I do? I have a Dell 22-inch sitting there, and that does have the holes. So I remove the stand. I then take the stand that I have. I turn the monitor portrait mode. I hold it up. There's just four thumb screws to connect it. I then slide some things where I got to slide the two monitors that I have on a shelf here in front of me. I got to move them to the right. I got to move my mixer and all my other stuff a little bit. And I squeeze this monitor in and probably the last available inches of real estate on my desk. And then I run a cable to the video card and it lights right up. I mean, perfect. I now have a portrait monitor to my left and then the other two monitors. My family already thinks I'm nuts when they come into this room, because then right beside that, there's a 27-inch iMac. And then if you go behind me, there's another 27-inch monitor that is on a switch with two systems. And then if you can continue, like when I'm doing the show, there's a MacBook Pro doing the recording behind me. Up in the far left-hand side above my head is a 55-inch TV. And then behind me, you can see sometimes on the camera, there's a 32-inch that we don't even use that's behind me, that's in front of Ryan's desk. I am surrounded by LCD displays almost in a full circle. And it's out of control. But I'm having fun, and I love it. And the use, you don't think, if anybody who's using one monitor, once you go two monitors, you can't go back. It is unbelievable. But when you add a third, oh, right now I have email at the top part of it, and then I have my Evernote at the bottom. I've picked up some significant real estate on my main system, so I'm very happy. Now, my dream system, I'm going to describe the monitors. I would have two NVIDIA cards. I would have four regular widescreen 24-inch Samsung displays stacked two and two in a V. Because if you go straight beside each one, it's too big. You got to come in at a V. It makes it beautiful. I want four of them in front of me, flanked by two portrait monitors, one on the left, one on the right. Six monitors. That's my dream. Problem is getting the real estate to accommodate it. Enough of that. Now, I mentioned Evernote. Evernote has a printing bug that has been annoying me. I use Evernote all the time. You know, I've used it the minute it came out. I've talked about it frequently. I live in that for notes for my clients. It is the note program that I put everything I find, every link I find, every note I find. I also, all the notes for the Mike Tech Show, I put together in Evernote. Well, if you try to print one of those notes, go print where there's a URL and you'll see it's like a strike through. They can't print an underline. They have problems with italics printing. Evernote's been around too long to have these problems. So I went on the forums thinking there's got to be a resolution. It's me. It's not Evernote. They got to have a fix for this. No, they don't have a fix. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people angry about this because this problem has been around a long time. So if you are an Evernote user, go to the forums, go to tech support, and let's force them to fix this problem. It's been around for too long. You got to be able to print your notes, and they got to be legible. I don't understand. The engineers need to work. They've come up with so many different upgrades and versions. Hey, stop. Fix the fonts for printing before you continue using, you know, adding some more features. Love the product, but you have to fix this. A plea to Evernote to fix this. The workaround that I have found, and I don't like this, is before I print it, I turn off hyperlinks in the note. So now the hyperlink's not a hyperlink. And so now you don't have a strike through when you print it. So just something I wanted to get off my chest. I think that's enough rambling on my stories from the trenches. I have lots more. We'll save them for another show. I have a longtime listener consultant that has reached out to me that they need help with a client in the Perrysburg, Ohio area. If you are in the Perrysburg, Ohio area, and it's near Toledo. If you're a consultant or know a good consultant that can work with older people that has patience, please send me an email, miketechshow@gmail.com. Send me your contact information, and I will put you in touch with the person that will be hiring you for a client in that area. You want some work? You're in that Toledo area. Here you go. Handing you a client on a silver platter. So contact me. Let's get to some voicemails. This first one is a follow-up from Kate. Give a listen.
Hi, Mike. It's Katester. Katie Ells up here in Kelowna in British Columbia, Canada. You were kind enough to ask my question about migrating from Outlook 2010 to Outlook 2013 on a recent podcast. And I just thought I'd check in with you and let you know that it went very, very well. Your advice was excellent. And in fact, after taking all the screenshots and collecting all the screenshots and then installing Outlook or installing Office 2013 on top of 2010, everything came up. It found the profile and we were able to send and receive emails with no trouble. So that was really impressive. Two minor things. One question that I have and another tip that I have that may save somebody else some aggravation. I'll start with the saving other people aggravation part. It's a small office. There's a secretary and there's a boss. The secretary has Windows 8.1 with Avast Free antivirus on it. The boss has Windows 7 Pro with, we started the day with Microsoft Security Essentials on it, but we've corrected that problem. Now, when I did the tests between those machines to make sure that they could send and receive emails to each other, I learned from the boss that the secretary had tried to forward an email days before this migration occurred and that it had never appeared in the boss's Outlook 2010. So it wasn't like I caused the problem, but I was there. I thought I'd try and solve it. Long story short, much troubleshooting, what I was able to ascertain was that there's a box checked by default in Avast Free that says scan attachments in when attaching in Outlook only. And what it was doing was taking any PDF attachment and basically throwing it on the floor. Now, anybody who's interested can contact me privately and I'll explain how the troubleshooting went to get to that point. But, you know, here's the thing. If that's happening, go into your antivirus, see if there's some kind of option in your email scanning program and see if it relates to Outlook attachments. And if there is, just turn that option off and retest. As soon as I turned that bad boy off, everything worked great. So I'll tell you where it is in Avast specifically, but in general, that's the tip. So if you open up Avast and you go to Settings and then to Active Protection, and then when you see Mail Shield, click on Customize, and then on Behavior. I'll send you a screenshot of it. But you'll see that it says MS Outlook only, scan attachment when attaching. You know, it probably seemed like a good idea at the time. Clear that checkbox, okay your way out. Rerun the test. You don't even have to restart anything, or I didn't have to restart anything, and it worked totally great. So I hope that helps. Now, my question is, even though we're able to send and receive email with no problems. While that send and receive is going on, there is a you can look at the progress of it, and it simply says processing task 3 out of 7, 4 out of 7, 5 out of 7, 6 out of 7. It never seems to complete 6 out of 7, and therefore it doesn't complete 7, apparently. But again, it's not hanging, it's not failing. Messages now are being sent and received without any issue. I don't seem to be the only one having this problem. There's plenty of forum posts and stuff like that that indicate that other people have experienced this, but I haven't found anyone who's resolved it yet. So I'd be grateful for help there. It's just annoying. It's not life-threatening. Again, this is Outlook 2013, migrated from 2010, and there's no exchange or anything like that. It's a simple PST. So many thanks for your help. I hope this has helped in return, and have a great day.
Kate, thank you very much for taking the time to put that voicemail together and the follow-up for Outlook. If we got some help for Kate on her question, and thank you for the tip on the Avast antivirus. I know, Kate, you're a big fan of Avast, and I don't use Avast, but this is the second or third time, I believe, where there's been an advanced tweak or option that you've had to dig and find to turn off. If I run into that many things with a program, maybe gotta look for an alternative, because I'm still using Security Essentials as my main antivirus, and I use Malwarebytes Premium as an add-on to help with stopping the malware. Crypto Prevent to stop the ransomware, and I'm good to go. They're my go-to programs, and I know I get beat up for still using Microsoft Security Essentials, but I continue to use it, and I like it. I'm actually using F-Secure on servers, and that's a separate discussion. But Kate, thank you. This is a voicemail, a review from Brian. Give a listen.
Hey, Mike. This is Brian. I just wanted to call in today and give you a quick review of a service I've been using called Watchman Monitoring. Right now, Watchman is primarily Mac-focused, but they do have a PC version in beta testing. Watchman provides a tech consultant with a way to monitor their client's systems 24 hours, 7 days a week. It looks to see whether backups are running correctly, if drives are supposed to be mounted, are actually mounted, checks for malware and adware, even on a Mac, and will even let you know as soon as your hard drive starts throwing disk errors, so you know immediately to get to your client and replace a failing hard drive. It also has nice integration with Zendesk, so if you're using that, it'll generate trouble tickets automatically as well. When I first actually started using Watchman, I was rolling it into my retainer client packages as a way to help show up my offerings, but now I sell it as a standalone product to my non-retainer clients to generate some extra recurring revenue as well. They offer a 30-day free trial, so I suggest giving it a quick look to see. Love the show and keep up the good work.
Brian, thank you so much for taking the time. Brian called me and we were talking and he was mentioning this product. And I said, record a voicemail and send me that MP3. Just do a little recording for a little review, a little mention of that product and send it to me. And he did. And in his email, he's had this blue snowball mic sitting around on his desk for a long time being unused, and he took that opportunity to record it. And Brian, I want to thank you for taking the time and recording that. Please do that. That's a great way. If you see something, or some people are better at talking about it than they are writing. That's me. I do not like writing emails and writing dissertations about things. If there's a weakness with me, it's writing. I've never wrote. I don't like writing. Put a microphone in front of me and I'm good to go. I'll record something. I can talk about it. so much easier. Put me on a stage with a ton of people in front of me, and I will gladly talk about anything. But when it comes to writing, and I've turned down lots of opportunities for writing for websites and even a magazine because I am not a writer. And it's something that I've just never had that gift to be able to put down in words and be able to write it where I want to talk about it and discuss it. If that's you, record it. Record that comment and just send me the MP3 and I'll gladly put it in the very next show. I love doing that. Also, you know, we have the Skype phone number for voicemail. Use it. Send me voicemails. I love putting them in the show. That's less I got to talk. No. I love doing it. As a matter of fact, so we're up against time that I have a stack of email. And you know what? I'm going to put that on the next show. So I have lots of stories from the trenches and lots of email that I promise I will get to on the next show. If you are purchasing from Amazon, anything from Amazon, if you know anybody that shops at Amazon, please use my link, share my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price remains the same, but a small commission comes back and helps support the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for supporting the show, using my Amazon link, for supporting the sponsors, Instant House Call, my other affiliates. Fab Auto Backup 6 Pro is phenomenal. Tech Nibbles Business Computer Kit is incredible. That's another great value. Thank you so much. I will talk to you same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.